You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast.
Welcome back to the Faith Unpacked podcast with Jason and Jamie. This is episode 228. And today, Jason's out, and I wasn't able to get a guest in for this week. I did try. We'll have one, hopefully, for you next week. That'll be pretty exciting. But I'm going to respond to a question that came in on our email line. And so if you, by the way, to our listeners, if you have a question and you would like to have Jason and I discuss it or tackle it, as it relates to God's word or biblical theology or application of Bible in our life as we walk as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, feel free to send that to us. You can send it via our email line, or you can send it to us via social media. You can also check out our website for contact information as well and be able to do that. We love to hear from you. We love to respond to questions. But this question, submitted by an anonymous listener, or one that doesn't identify themselves, is asking a question about openness in marriage. The question they're asking is, how open should spouses be with each other? And now, I don't know the context of the question. The person who wrote in doesn't tell us who or what specifically is going on in their life or going on in their marriage that brings the question up. So I will just respond to it in more of a general sense that hopefully has good biblical application in every other context. But to do that, obviously, we've got to go back to God's original design. Anytime we're talking about marriage and the purpose of marriage and what marriage is supposed to look like and how it's supposed to interact, we got to go back to God's original design for it. And so we jump back to Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, where we see God's original institution of marriage and his design for it. And we're told in Genesis chapter 2, that the Lord makes a profound statement. He says in verse 18 of Genesis chapter 2, it says, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper for him. So the Lord God formed out of the ground every wild animal and every bird of the sky and brought each to the man to see what he could call it. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the livestock and to the birds of the sky and to every wild animal. But for the man, no helper was found as a complement. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to come over the man. And as he slept, God took one of his ribs and closed the flesh at that place. Then the Lord God made the rib he had taken from the man into a woman and brought her to the man. And the man said, this one at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one will be called woman, for she was taken from the man. Verse 24 says, this is why a man will leave his father and mother and be bonded with his wife, and they will become one flesh. Both the man and his wife were naked, yet felt no shame. And so we're told a couple different things here that, first of all, obviously, marriage is between one man and one woman exclusively. There's no room for multiple spouses or open marriages or any of that nonsense that we see going on in our culture today. And at the same time, we also see that it's not good for man to be alone. And the reason for that, obviously, is the design, how man was made, right? Go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, where God says, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And so he created them male and female. He created them in the image of God. So that begs the question, what is the image of God, or what is the design of God? Well, God is one God, yet eternally existent in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. They are three persons of one God, and have been in perfect unity, perfect community with each other for all eternity. And that's the picture of the God for whom we're made in his image, which means if we're made in the image of God and God has been in perfect community and perfect unity and perfect relationship, then we are made for that as well. And so this is all inherent in God's statement that it's not good for man to be alone. It's not to say that a man cannot survive on his own, or he cannot live on his own, or a woman for that matter, that a individual cannot live and survive by themselves. What it's saying is that's not God's good design. God's good design is that we be in perfect community, perfect unity, perfect love, perfect relationship, all of that, just as God is himself. And so part of that is we're made for perfect relationship with God. We're meant to be actively in relationship with God, but we're also meant to be in relationship with others. And the primary version of that, or the closest, I guess you'd say, the closest human relationship version of that is inherent in marriage, which of course marriage is meant to, again, show us the relationship between God and his people, right? We find this in Ephesians chapter 5, for example, where the Apostle Paul is instructing husbands and wives to engage with one another in certain ways, you know. And then he says, in relationship to the husband, he says, "Now, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing of water by the word. He did this to present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or anything like that, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands are to love their wives as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hates his own flesh, but provides and cares for it, just as Christ does for the church. Since we are members of his body, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This mystery is profound, but I am talking about Christ and the church. To sum up, each one of you is to love his wife as himself, and a wife is to respect her husband." So he points this out in verse 32. This mystery is profound, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. So the closeness of marriage mirrors that closeness that we are meant to have in relationship with God, that God loves us like that. And marriage is meant to draw us to that great actual relationship with himself. So marriage is just primarily a picture of what it is that God will be and is in relationship to us in our lives, that one day we will be, as believers in Jesus Christ, we will be his bride in his presence, and that'll be pretty awesome. Obviously, if you want a glimpse of that, take a look at Revelation chapter 21, where you see that picture so beautifully drawn out. So you have this relationship that is clearly God's good design. He meant for it to be a husband and wife. He meant for that to be oneness in a relationship, oneness emotionally, spiritually, physically. You know, it's not just a flesh on flesh thing. The flesh on flesh is a culmination of that spiritual and the emotional, and you have this total openness, this total revealing of oneself to one spouse in a way that is unique only to marriage. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a close thing. And we have no doubt that this is absolutely the design of God, because even the Lord Jesus Christ, he picks up this same language, reaffirms it over in the New Testament. In Mark chapter 10 or Matthew chapter 19, he completely reaffirms the whole thing, right? He was asked a question about divorce. Why did Moses permit divorce? And he responds in verse 4 of Mark chapter 10 saying, Moses permitted us to write divorce papers and send her away, but Jesus told them, he wrote this command for you because of the hardness of your heart, because of sin. Verse 6, but from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, man must not separate. So Jesus clearly reaffirms that same design, that we are meant to have that closeness, meant to have that unity and community in the context of healthy and appropriate biblical marriage. So this is definitely what God intended. This is definitely what God had in mind that is good for human flourishing. And there's meant to be that closeness, that openness, you know, emotionally, spiritually, and physically, that draws us, again, just to restate, draws us back to that picture of God and his people, the relationship that we have with him and will have eternally with him. And it's a really awesome thing. And so that all being said, as kind of background to all of this, we understand that marriage is meant to be a completely open thing. And I would argue that as believers in the Lord Jesus, we should be people who are completely open in every respect, because that's how we're called to live and walk. And I think that's even more profoundly true in the context of marriage as well. This is how God is, and this is how God calls us to walk. I mean, for example, think of 1 John chapter 5. It says, not chapter 5, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. He says, now this is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and there is absolutely no darkness in him. If we say we have fellowship with him, yet we walk in darkness, we are lying and not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. So you have this picture of total openness, right? This is the call of the Christian, that we are to walk and live as Jesus walked and lived, which is to say that there is no secrets, right? There is no darkness. There is no hidden aspects. And if that's true in the broader sense of how a Christian man or woman should walk their life before the Lord, where there isn't secrets, that they are in relationship and in community with brothers and sisters in Christ, where others know all about them and know about their struggles and know about their failures, and they are able to confess and repent and be challenged and encouraged and pointed to Christ in every aspect of their life. If that design is true outside of marriage, just in a general Christian sense, because that's how God is, then that's even more profoundly true in the marriage sense. And in fact, you could argue that for oneness to happen, there can't be any secrets, right? You're not actually one spiritually, emotionally, physically, if there are secrets or if there are areas that are kept private from your wife or from your husband. And so when it comes to a husband or wife, we would say from a biblical perspective, God's design seems pretty clear that relationship is meant to be completely open. That doesn't mean it's completely easy. And that doesn't mean that it has to be in, you know, express detail, for example. Like, I think it is absolutely appropriate to recognize the different roles of people that God brings into your life. Yes, your spouse is the primary person in your life, 100%, but that doesn't mean that you share every aspect in great detail of, you know, every struggle in your life. For example, like one obvious example would be like sexual temptation. You know, if you're a man and you experience some sexual temptation, you should, I think, in a healthy way, be able to discuss those kind of things with your wife, where you share with her, you know, yes, I've had some struggles, you know, in this way, you can be praying for me today or this week, or, you know, that kind of thing that is healthy and appropriate. But you don't go into great detail about what that temptation is. Openness with your spouse in that case does not mean you have to give her obscene detail about what your temptations are or something like that. There are times where I think it's helpful and necessary to confess those things, but those would be a good thing to confess to, you know, your brothers in Christ, same gender, you know, brothers or sisters in Christ, because all of this could be equally applied to women as well in a different way, you know, however that works for women. And I'm not going to speak for women because I'm not one. So so I'm not going to try and roll that dough out in that sense, because I don't have personal experience there. But I think it equally applies in those ways, however that works. So that's an example of a case where, yeah, you can still be completely open with your spouse and honest with your spouse, but you don't have to go into great detail in a sense that that would be something for to confess to a brother or sister in Christ. For sure, you confess all sins against the marriage and those kinds of things. You know, if you have an affair or watch pornography or physically act out in some sexual way, you definitely have to be honest with your spouse about those things, confess them, and deal with, you know, the ramifications, the issues that's going to bring up in your marriage, which is a great reason not to do any of those kinds of things. But anyway, that's a whole side note there. But the other aspect, I think, as I'm thinking this through, is one question that I think married couples deal with a lot in terms of openness is how open should they be with their spouse about other people's information? And that's where it becomes a really different question, because while you, I think very clearly biblically, as a husband or wife, are to be 100% open and honest with your spouse on everything that relates to you or everything that relates to them and to each other and to what affects the marriage, you are not bound by the marriage union to share other people's information. And, you know, the thought there is, well, first of all, that person that shared with you didn't necessarily sign up to share that with your spouse. And in some cases, what they're sharing with you is very personal and wouldn't be appropriate in the context of, you know, if you're a man and a male friend makes some, you know, share some information with you or confessions with you, that may not be appropriate to share with your wife at all. It may not be appropriate to share those things with her at all. And it's not really necessarily fair to that person to share their information with your spouse. And so that's a whole separate issue. And I know that, you know, the reason I bring that up in this context is I have heard this kind of thing where married people will say, well, if I'm married, I have to be completely open with my wife about everything. And you'd say, well, no, God's design is that you be completely open with your wife about, or your spouse about, everything as it relates to you and as it affects the marriage. But that doesn't apply necessarily to things you learn about other people or things other people have shared with you that don't relate to marriage, or your marriage specifically, may relate to their marriage. Definitely could be that. But even then, you know, what they're sharing with you is as a brother or sister in Christ. And oftentimes it's because they're making confession or sharing a struggle or asking you for prayer or asking you for advice or even processing through. Sometimes it's just simply a processing through some situation or issue that is going on in their life or in their marriage. And it's something they can't really process through with their spouse at this point. they will obviously get back to their spouse and process through that in a healthy and appropriate way. But sometimes it's helpful to get the perspective or wisdom of a brother or sister in Christ outside of the situation so that they can help point you to God's good word and how best to respond to these things, or even the wisdom of when to respond to these things, or what to say in the manner in which to say it, in the time frame in which to say it. You know, all of those things can become really important. And so there I think is healthy and appropriate space for that, where you're not violating God's good design and what God intends, but you're actually aiding it, where there are times where you can cause maybe great damage in your relationship with your spouse just by processing information that really should have been done, you know, with a brother or with a sister outside of that particular situation, where they can help guide you in terms of wisdom, what to say and how to say it, and even push back on you, because sometimes your attitude or your heart or what you're saying isn't right, or you have a blind spot that you haven't considered or haven't been willing to accept. And sometimes that outside view becomes really important and necessary for the health of your marriage and long-term open communication. But definitely, in every sense, though, outside of those that we specifically talked about, it is the charge of a husband and wife to be completely open with their spouse. There should not be secrets. And in fact, a lot of times those secrets can become damaging or dangerous to the marriage relationship. And so being able to always be open and honest and have those conversations with your spouse becomes very important. Just as important as it is to engage your spouse spiritually, to spend time in prayer together, to spend time in God's word together, to spend time in conversation together, to emotionally be checking in with each other and having those conversations and sitting with each other's feelings in some cases and all of that good, healthy stuff. And then, of course, physically engaging as well, and having those conversations around that as well. I guess the easy answer is to say that in the context of marriage, a husband and wife should be completely, totally open with each other. That, you know, the goal or what it should look like should reflect the very nature and character of God himself. And again, God is in perfect community, perfect unity, perfect love. And so a marriage relationship should reflect that as well in connection with each other as a husband, as a wife, ultimately for the flourishing of the marriage and for the flourishing of children and the home and the church and the community. And ultimately it all is for the glory of God. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Faith Unpacked podcast. We're so thankful for your time. We hope and pray that these encourage your faith and walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear past episodes, you can find them on our website at faithunpacked.com. We'd also invite you to subscribe on your favorite podcasting site. If you have any questions, feel free to hit us up on social media, or you can send us an email at faithunpacked@gmail.com. And we invite you back next time as we continue to unpack our faith together.